Well, I have been waiting for this day all year long. Christmas Day. Listen, it's 365 days till next Christmas. So we won't start counting yet. So we're so thrilled that you are here to worship with us today. I understand that there are a lot of obligations and opportunities with family and friends. So we're thankful that you took an opportunity to come and worship the Savior with us in this hour. We're thankful for the ability. This is our last worship service of 2016. It's hard to believe how quickly this year has flown by. But just like I've been waiting for this day to come all year, all mankind was waiting for that one night that happened some 2,000 years ago. Christmas is about the thrill of hope. We sing about that, the thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Well, that new and glorious morn has broken. Here we are today. The hope of Jesus is for high kings. And the hope of Jesus is for lowly shepherds. It's for white-collar businessmen. It's for blue-collar workers. It is for those who are far from God, and it is for those who are even further still. The gospel, it's for you and for me. Would you take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2? We're going to spend the next few moments, honestly, just looking through a good bit of scripture fairly quickly, but the scripture speaks for itself in this nativity story. So Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it will be a familiar passage. I would dare say some families already read it this morning together as they woke up, or maybe last night before bed, and we will do so together now. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Verse 5. He was there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Fear not, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Verse 12, "There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven,'" just as the choir sang about. "And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told to them." Let's pray. Father God, the reality is this passage gives us hope. It is not just a hope because a Savior has been born to save the elite. It is a hope that, and is a reminder that even as the Savior was revealed first to lowly shepherds, that you came for all mankind. Father, this birth announcement reminds us that you came for the entire world. What a testimony to your nature. You came for all of us. Father, my prayer is that there would be no one listening, watching online, in this room, no one that would begin to think that they were too far from you to be saved by your goodness and your grace. Father, that each of us would understand that it is not by our own merit, but it is by your good grace and pleasure that we come to you. So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for grace. And I pray that it would shine through as we read the Nativity Scriptures today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus came for the dirty, the smelly, the unstable, the mentally unstable, the sick, the poor, the ordinary sinners of the world. Listen, that's you and me. He came for us, but he did not just come for lowly shepherds. He also came for kings and their kingdoms. We see that in the scripture as well. He came for those of actual royalty, and he came for those whose lives seem to be royal on their own. He came for the wealthy, for the privileged, for the blessed, for the powerful, for the ones who do not lack anything except for their own salvation. See, he came for all of them. Maybe that's you and me as well. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 2? You're in Luke. If you'll back up a couple of books in the Bible there, back up to Matthew chapter 2. I want to show you again this part about the kings and those of great wealth who came. Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked, where was the Messiah to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler that will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. Verse 9, after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was with Mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I love this passage. We have the first passage where he appears to shepherds. We have this passage where he appears to those of wealth and of great means, these people that were very highly educated and came with lots of ability on their own to the scene. I got so excited when I was preparing this message, thinking about he came for lowly shepherds and he came for high kings as well, that I decided to write a poem. Now listen, I don't write many poems at all. When I start to write, I picture... Andre the Giant in the movie The Princess Bride. I don't know if you've seen that. If not, that will mean nothing to you. But anyway, I wrote a poem about shepherds, this shepherd and king who came for shepherds and kings, because Jesus was a shepherd king. He came for lowly shepherds, and he came for mighty kings. He came for those of ill repute, and he came for lives more clean. Though lives more clean may seem desired, the truth is found within. For none of us have earned that hope. It only comes from him. So the story's more than a baby born. It's more than a silent night. It's a gift of hope and life for shepherd and kings alike. So choose today of which you are, a shepherd or a king. In the end, it does not matter, for you still must be redeemed. So join the age-old chorus and sing aloud your part, that Jesus born in Bethlehem is born within your heart. Friends, I must remind you today that this manger scene shows us that not only can we sing songs about a baby born in a manger, away in a manger, we can sing songs about, oh, little town of Bethlehem. We can sing songs like, what child is this? I could name song after song after song that we all know, but I must tell you again what I've already said this Christmas season. It does not matter how many times we sing that he's born in Bethlehem if he is not first born in your life. We must receive the gift of grace that God provides. So I encourage you today to let it become personal for you. God's story is your story. God's story is my story. The gospel is our story. So the one who came for shepherds and kings is himself the great shepherd king. Let me share with you a few verses. If you're writing things down, you can look these up later. You can try to follow along, but I'm going to go quick. Some verses that will show him as the great shepherd and as the king. The Old Testament, Psalm 80, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved." We're told all the way back in Psalms that the God we serve, the one we know, he is a shepherd king. Psalm 23, listen, we know this. We've heard it shared at oftentimes, many at funerals, at gravesides. I shared it even this week. It was an honor to share this passage at a graveside and to be reminded of the hope we see from this shepherd. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Is there a more beautiful passage about the shepherd king? We're reminded, he talks about the rod and staff, and we're reminded of the shepherd's staff, and it's such a beautiful image of what God does in our lives as we stray off the path and he takes the crook of the staff and pulls us back in line. As we are attacked and encroached upon by the enemy, how he can turn that staff over and knock him in the head if he has to, and time to time, he'll knock you and I in the head as well. Sometimes, well, it's always deserved, by the way, let me just say. But God does it. We have a wonderful shepherd king, a wonderful God who cares for us. Let me read one more for you. John chapter 10, verse 7 says this: "Therefore Jesus said again, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in, they will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full, abundant life." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep." Then he says it again in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Aren't you thankful that we have a good shepherd? He does not abandon you in times of trouble. I look across this room and there is much to rejoice and celebrate for those of us that are here, but I can also look and see that some of us are in times of trouble. You have circumstances in your life that are difficulty and bringing about hardship, many of us, and what I would say to you is this: the good shepherd will not abandon you in your day of need. The good shepherd has gone nowhere. In fact, he's holding you closer than ever, and I've found that more often we understand his grace more when we need it the most. So I encourage you with that. But Jesus is the great shepherd, but he is also the one true king. A passage I don't think I've ever read at Christmas time before, but I want to read today. Revelation chapter 19, if you'd like to turn there. Revelation 19, last book of your Bible. You can go to the very back there. Verse 11, we see a picture of the returning Christ. We see what will happen someday, not yet, but someday in the future. Revelation 19, 11 says this: "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Verse 12, his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Verse 13, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Who's that? It's Jesus. It's the one we celebrate in the manger. We see that he is coming again as our great king. Verse 14, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I believe, and we have different understandings of eschatology, but from the way I read, I would believe that that's, if we've died and gone, that's going to be us coming with him. And it says we're going to be dressed in white. And if you've ever picked a fight dressed in white, you're pretty confident you're going to win. And I'm telling you, we're not even going to have to raise a hand, and we get to be a part of this incredible journey. And so we see it says the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 15, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh is written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, he's coming again. The gospel story does not end with a baby in a manger. It doesn't even end with the crucifixion. It doesn't even end with the empty tomb. Quite frankly, the gospel story doesn't even end the day you got saved. Please understand that the gospel story will continue on until Jesus returns to end evil once and for all. Did you realize that's what that Christmas song we sing is all about? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. That song's not about a baby being born. It's about a returning king, believe it or not. It's a beautiful passage. We sing it at Christmas, but really, we should sing it all year long. Chuck, I'm voting for that one all year long. So once a month, how about? Let's just at least give it a try. So it's not a Christmas song. But anyway, we're reminded that he is coming again. If you woke up this Christmas morning and you were expecting your family or food or memories or special music to make your life complete, I can tell you, you can get disappointed when a child opens a gift and you were so excited that they would get it, and then it just really means nothing to them and they go to play with the bag, you know, or something like that. It happens. It didn't happen in my house, but it does happen. It does. We can get so excited thinking that we're going to be with family and something seems to not go quite right in that scenario, and we can be disappointed. We can think about, if you're like me, you can think about food and the tastes of the season and what you're going to be tasting, and then find out we're going to do it different this year and just eat sandwiches. And I'm just kidding, but you can have all those kind of memories and reminders, and things can be different. And we can look for hope and look for happiness in the midst of a memory we're trying to make. And we live in a day and age where people are trying to make memories, but we stage them. We stop and say, pause, let's take a selfie picture for this, put it on Facebook. How many times have we took a quick, quote unquote, one of those just quick photos that was on the fly, but you had to do it five or six times to get it right, to make it look right. All of these things, we can get so excited about the joy of those things, but I can assure you today that none of these will be enough without a personal relationship with Jesus. None of these will work alone. We must come to understand that the great shepherd king has come for shepherds and kings alive. And so what I would say to you as we conclude this morning is this. You need a savior. I need a savior. But the good news is a savior has been born. He came for shepherds. He came for kings. I don't know which you relate more to, but the reality is you need him. And he came for you. You can receive the Savior today. I would encourage you, if you have a Savior, then walk as a child of the Savior King. You're not just his servant. You are his child. Walk as one who's a son or daughter of King Jesus. Walk in grace. Walk in peace, walk with hope, walk with joy. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is ruling in your life today. And so my prayer is no matter how the rest of your day goes, and I hope it's perfect and wonderful, no matter how it goes, I would encourage you to stop and realize that the one we celebrate his birth today is the Lion of the tribe of Judah that will come again. And the one that we celebrate what he's done in our lives, he shall return. And he is at work in you, and he is at work in me. If you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord, I invite you to do so. We would love to pray with you and just share with you about that this morning. You can come during what we will call our invitation time. We're inviting you to come while we sing. Maybe for you, though, you realize that there's not been a lot of hope in your life this week. There's been a lot of hectic in your life this week. Whatever the case may be, you might want to come and pray. There's some spaces you can, or the front row. You can pray at your seat, but we encourage you to take a moment to stop and to pray and just to be reminded that the great Shepherd King brings hope and peace and joy. It didn't mean all your circumstances are always great, but he works in and through your life. So would you do that? Maybe God's calling you to unite with First Baptist Church. I can think of no better day to come and say, I want to be a part of helping this local faith family share the gospel here and around the world. And so I'm going to make that decision to do so on Christmas Day. It'll be what a great day to celebrate that. Maybe you say, I have Jesus in my life, but I want to follow through with believers' baptism, showing the symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, showing that I have new life in him. If that's you, today would be a good day to come and say, in the next few weeks, I want to do that, make that a public declaration. But maybe for you, you have another prayer need. Maybe something is happening in your life that I can pray for or someone else can pray for. If you come, someone will come and pray with you. So we invite you to do so. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, in this moment, my prayer is that each of us would make a conscious decision to follow you in these next few steps. Lord, it's not that we have to walk an aisle or do anything like that, but Father, that we have an opportunity to respond. We can come and make a commitment to you. We can come to pray and ask others to pray for us. We can come and make a renewed response to you. Father, we might come and unite with this faith family. Whatever you are doing in our midst, I pray that you would have your way among us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.